Welcome to a brand new 12-week series on the Special Ed Strategist podcast, where we take the guesswork out of special education. I'm Wendy Taylor, certified educational therapist, IEP coach, and your go-to guide through the IEP maze. And I'm thrilled to co-host this series with the brilliant Jackie Beach, founder of Rally Family Support and expert in early childhood and family advocacy. Each week, we're going to answer the real questions parents are asking, from how do I even start the IEP process to what if school says no. We're cutting through the confusion and offering straight talk, real strategies, and supportive guidance. We've gathered the most frequently asked questions from parents, just like you, and we're combining our expertise, stories, and proven tools to give you what you need most: clarity, confidence, and direction. Think of this series like your special education GPS. You're the hero of the story, and we're your co-pilots. Because when you're empowered with the right information, you stop feeling overwhelmed. Start leading your child's education journey with intention. Let's get started. Week by week, question by question, strategy by strategy. You've got this and we've got you. Let's dive in. Welcome back to the Special Ed Strategist podcast. I am your host, Wendy Taylor, and I am joined by Jackie Beach, an incredible advocate, parent coach, and the founder of Rally Family Support. Each week, we're tackling one real question from parents navigating the special education process. We started this journey because Jackie and I, being in the field for as long as we have parents asking us very similar questions. So what better time to do that during the summer to help kind of wrap your minds around next steps and hopefully give you answers and advocacy tools to empower better outcomes. So the question that we are tackling this week is, can you explain what each service actually looks like during the school day? I see minutes listed on my kid's IEP, but I don't know what actually is happening in those sessions. So if you've ever looked at your child's IEP and thought, I see the minutes, but what is actually happening to those sessions, you are not alone. So in today's episode, we're going to break down what special education services really look like during the school day, from speech therapy to occupational therapy, reading support to behavioral coaching. We're going to walk you through to the what, the where, how, and why for each service, because understanding how services are delivered is just as important as knowing that they are happening. So let's pull back the curtain and make those IEP minutes make sense. Hi, Jackie. Thanks for joining me.
Nicely done. You got a lot of info out in a really great synopsis in a short amount of time. I'm impressed.
All right, let's dive in. Tell me what you think when we talk about services in terms of, and let's frame this. So you tend to really work with the younger kiddos, getting them ready for early school age, and then we do early school age to post-secondary. So I think it's important to have both of our expertise in these questions and answers and getting all the information out. So knowing that service minutes equals time, not necessarily the description. So let's talk about that.
Okay. Well, I love the idea of starting with this question because, like you mentioned, I tend to work with families at the beginning of their school journey. So I think there's a lot of baseline information that feels confusing because it's the first time you're doing it. And this particular question regarding what each service sort of looks like is one that is it's dependent on the kid, the service that's being implemented, the school team, and what information you're hoping to gather from asking this question. So for me, I think a great place to start is for a parent to always think when they're talking about these sort of related services that these are supported services that help ensure that the child's going to benefit from special education. So these are the things that are going to be related to the IEP actually being beneficial and impactful. And if a parent can sort of have that mindset, then they can go in and ask specific questions at either their IEP meeting, via email, just emailing the school for information for their own edification, what it looks like for their specific child. With all of these questions, it's super important to know that there's not really a blanket answer because it's dependent on you, your kiddo, the data, your school team, what you qualify for, state by state, school by school. But I think if you have the general umbrella of understanding that these are supportive sort of services that ensure that the child's going to benefit from the IEP and specialized education, then you can kind of whittle away to your specific questions.
If we think about an IEP, they typically list services in minutes, right? Mm-hmm. So per week, per month, for example, speech is 60 minutes per week. but it doesn't always describe like the how or the where services are delivered.
Right. And I think that, you know, those questions that we always go back to, right? Like the who, the what, the where, those are things that you're allowed to ask. And really, you're just gathering information. And what's important about this tool also is that by asking those questions, you will help fill any holes that perhaps haven't been thought about or need to be considered. And it also makes sure that the system that's in place and the school's plan is one you can rely upon.
And I like that you brought that up, right? In terms of, so for parents asking, is this a pullout service? Is this a push-in service? Is this one-on-one? Is this small group? Is it a consult? Right. All of those are really helpful to know. And I think even if you as a parent think, I know where this takes place, I would continually just ask, be curious and see, because that may look different from year to year. But I also think the answer from the team is going to bring up either satisfy and say, okay, this is a good match, or let's think about this because my child performs better in this environment. Right. So just understanding what that's going to look like, kind of back to an accommodation we hear a lot about preferential seating. But what does that look like for that child? Right. Is preferential seating best for that child in the front of the room near the teacher, or is that better in the back of the room? So I think asking those questions in a way that it also kind of aligns you as a parent with the team to be more collaborative and, again, that word curious and understanding what that's going to look like for your particular kiddo and your, as you had said, you know, particular state, school district, and actually school building.
Completely. And, you know, I think I want to go back to something you said, because again, every time we chat or talk, I always want people to feel like there's actionable items. And I would say around related services and what services actually look like, you know, something you mentioned are these terms, you know, push in, pull out, consult. Those are things that you can just literally go find those definitions or talk to an expert to know what those definitions are, so you're not sideswiped in the meeting by hearing these things the first time. So I think understanding the terms and the language beforehand is important. And when you're in a meeting or a conversation, do not be embarrassed to say, what does that mean? Can you explain? Give me more details. These meetings are your meetings too. They're not just for you to be talked at. It's there for you to participate. And every question we're going to answer and every conversation we're going to talk about, I do want to make sure, along with actionable items, there's an emphasis on the tone of collaboration. Remember, you're there to support the team and the team is there to support you. So anything you can do to sort of front load your baseline of knowledge so you can have a proactive conversation and then ask clarifying questions with the tone that you're setting of, I'm here to support you and you're here to support me, and we want what's best for our student. So much of what happens in these meetings is that there's a general sense of overwhelm on the parent side. And then there's a general sense of, for the school team, they're under a lot of pressure because they have so many students and there's so much they're trying to accomplish. So there is a sense of overwhelm for them too. And I think if you can stop and get clarifying information and talk about the things that you're mentioning, what's specific to that student, it does bring back the tone of, we're doing this for a very special reason.
Yeah, keeping the focus on the kiddo, right? And yeah. I think it's also kind of to the point of just asking each year of what that looks like, because as your student transitions, whether it's to a higher grade, third to fourth or fifth to sixth, you know, and then transitioning into middle school and high school, those services and how they implement them can look very different. So I think it's really important to do that, right? And then parents think, like, for example, occupational therapy, right? Yeah. A parent may think that's handwriting practice, but it can also target other areas such as sensory and executive function. So again, asking the who, what, where, why, and looking at the data can really help us prioritize and identify, because we always say needs drive services. So as a parent, understanding what those needs are, understanding what it can look like in a school building, so that we can really hone in on the exact service and what that looks like for that student.
Completely. Yeah. I mean, look, and we go back to it. Knowledge is power. The more information you have, the more you can sort of understand the process and these key terms, along with how it's going to change and evolve, that will allow you to be flexible and more part of the problem solving process, as opposed to defensive and stressed out and feeling like you're being sideswiped. And nobody does their best thinking when you're stressed out. So, you know, I think it's a great question. And I understand why people are asking it, because you get this form with minutes and it says related service and you don't know what anybody's even doing. And I think it's helpful to ask these questions too, because then you understand how teams intertwine. Like, how is special education working with the SLP? How is that going to make the objectives and the goals more achievable? So I think all of these things are really helpful to just really dig in and ask for clarification. I think there's nothing wrong with that.
Before we wrap up, can we just spend a couple little minutes really quick? And I know you had said that parents can look for this information, but just real quick of what pull out could look like, what push in and consult.
Sure.
And again, it may differ. I mean, pull out is pull out and push in, and that consult may look different for the school building, but I think it's important just to kind of get some baseline.
For sure. So I think pull out, the best way to think about it is just literally understanding that the child's going to be pulled out from the classroom to receive specialized instruction. That can be one-on-one and small group. Again, we're talking about school differences. We're talking about age differences. We're talking about the thing your child's working on. That can be from anything from an SLP session to an OT session, anything around your related services. Push-in is going to be when it's done in the actual classroom, which is a really interesting model, because I feel as though that allows us to have opportunities for the specialist to see in live time potential obstacles and fires that have to be put out for the child within the classroom setting, which is, again, great data. These are things you want to see. You want to see what's happening as it's unfolding in real time. The benefit of the pullout is that it often is in a work environment that kids feel maybe more comfortable to work in. There's less distraction. There's more concentrated attention. So there's pros and cons to all of these. Consult is a really unique and wonderful opportunity that I don't think enough people know about, and it's not suggested enough, is really where the service provider or the expert, so let's say an OT, I think I love using an OT for a consult. They will maybe be done providing services. There's nothing that they feel like they've met the goals and they no longer are there for specialized instruction, but there needs to perhaps be a relationship between the classroom teacher and the expert, the OT, to make sure that the child is still making meaningful progress. And a general education classroom teacher is not an OT. They're an expert in many things, but it is beneficial to have the support of an OT's expertise to make sure that goals are being met in certain areas that perhaps were a place of vulnerability for a child. So the consult can be used a couple times a year, for example, to make sure we're staying on track. Great way to get data. Also a great way to make sure that the classroom teacher who spends the most time with the child is feeling comfortable with the progress and knows what to look for. So push in is going to be in the classroom, pull out is going to be out of the classroom, maybe one-on-one, maybe small group. And then consult is going to be a direct conversation with the general ed classroom teacher, other specialists, with the expert who's noted on the document for being the one in charge of that consult.
Beautiful. And so to wrap it up, and again, all of what we do want is those actionable items for parents. So kind of regroup our conversation to think about at the meeting for parents, some questions. I'm going to list some 5 questions as you can ask is, can you describe a typical session for the service? Where does the services take place? The classroom, therapy room, somewhere else? How does the provider coordinate with the general education teacher? Yep. What does progress monitoring look like for this service? And will I get updates about what's happening in sessions, or how do I get updates? So those are some questions. Do you want to add anything there, Jackie?
No, I feel like the only thing I would think about is that how do you take that information and make it mean something to you as a parent? So know ahead of time what your goals are for those questions, right? Like, what are your concerns? What are the things that you think you need to pay attention to for your next IEP meeting to be a meaningful participant?
Perfect. All right. This is week 1. We have many more questions to go of our 12-week summer series, Asking the Experts. Again, I'm Wendy and this is Jackie. Thanks for joining us. Please like, subscribe, and share. Until next time, bye for now. Today's episode is brought to you by Learning Essentials and our Cracking the Code to Special Education Eligibility course. Empower your advocacy, erase confusion, and unlock the services your kiddo deserves. Learn more at learningessentialsedu.com.